Hey guys, and welcome back to the 10 Count. I am your host, Daniel Washabaugh. I'm joined with Miller McGinn.
Hey, what's up?
And Zach Bentley.
What's going on, guys?
So, Mania.
What'd y'all Mania. Think? It was a show. It was a WrestleMania. It was a show.
I was certainly blinded by the lights.
Yeah, you know what? I was too. I was too for a good part of it. That first night, pretty solid. Second night, oh, not so much. I thought it was a lot easier to get through these two nights than one WrestleMania on just a Sunday, because that's like 8 hours of just straight up wrestling, match after match after match, and I often just got burnt out. But the first night was not burnt out at all. Was hoping for a little bit more, but then the second night, right after that Edge and Orton match, I was like, oh gosh, we just have four more matches to go. I'm tired.
I can agree with that.
That match was just a slugfest. It was just boring. It was just a boring match for coming from a match that should have been one of the most anticipated on the card to being one of the most boring matches. It was a disappointment, to say the least. Disappointment.
Yeah, I can agree, but I guess we'll get into that when we get our full recap going. But.
We got little news before that, though.
While I think night one was better, I still think night two, we got a lot of some good stuff.
I thought the Charlotte Rhea was good.
Yes.
And then,
like I said,
we'll get into that. First, we got to get that into the news. And really the biggest news, and just about the only news we got, is the Revival finally got released from WWE. So they're free. No third day. No compete clause, so they can go ahead and wrestle anywhere they want starting tomorrow. Or even tonight. For all we know, they could have been filming with AEW. Don't think so. I think if they're going to go to AEW, they're going to wait for their debut to be in front of a live crowd. That being said, I don't know.
I agree, because there's been a lot of teasing going on over the years between the Elite and the Revival.
Absolutely.
And so I think it would be a big moment to have in front of a live audience.
Mm-hmm. And in other news, Disney shut down UFC completely. So UFC 249 was supposed to be Habib versus Tony Ferguson, but Habib was stuck in his home. I think it was stuck in Russia, so he was out of that. Then they had a replacement, Justin Gaethje, but then Disney just said, "Nope, no more. I don't care that you rented a private island for the next 2 months." That's not going to happen. No more UFC. It's too dangerous. So it's completely off. Which is a smart move from Disney, because there does not need to be any wrestling with all their bodies being on the line. I mean, whenever they work out and stuff. They're
mixed
like
martial arts.
Yeah. Whenever they're fighting, they're like in training camp. Their bodies get like weak and more susceptible to illnesses and stuff. And that's like the worst thing that you can get is obviously the coronavirus. So definitely a smart move from Disney. So, but could be another 3 or 4 months before we see another UFC card. Hopefully Ferguson and Habib will be the first main event, because that's a match that I've been looking forward to for like 5 years now, or however long they've been building it up. But let's get into Mania. It had one pre-show match, which was Cesaro versus Drew Gulak. Would have been a very excellent match if they would have got more than, 5 minutes. But they got 4 minutes, 25 seconds. Cesaro won. Nothing really to say here. Cesaro is a superstar in my eyes. I think he's one of the best wrestlers, and they're not utilizing him correctly. But a fine match. Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross defeated the Kabuki Warriors. The Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane, for the Women's Tag Team Championship. Went 15 minutes. Wrong decision to have this match kick off WrestleMania, in my opinion. You got to think is, you want the crowd to get hyped up. This is where I would have probably put the ladder match, which is a lot more fun than this. This match felt like it dragged with no crowd. You just heard a lot of screaming and moaning, and it just got really awkward during a lot of parts of it. But Alexa and Nikki defeated the Kabuki Warriors. I'm not that surprised by this. They've been building up Alexa and Nikki over the past few weeks, and Asuka's been looking kind of like a geek. She's been losing quite a bit to Alexa. Like, she lost clean to Alexa like 2 weeks ago. So, kind of weird, but fine. Then I was really hoping up, like, all right, let's get Sammy versus Daniel. Let's get the ladder match. We got Elias versus King Corbin.
Yeah.
Again, don't know why this is a WrestleMania match. Elias has, his guy's ass handed to him by King Corbin the past few weeks. He fell off that porch 2 weeks ago, and people were wondering, is he going to wrestle? Yes, he did, and they had the most worthless match of night one, I would say.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
But Elias rolled up King Corbin and got the win. That's about all I can really say with it.
It's kind of surprising. I thought Corbin would get it.
Especially with Corbin being momentum. Like, you know, he's been a main event feud with Roman for the past like 2 months, or 4 months even. And yeah, he just lost to Elias and just lost him Jeff Hardy like a month ago, clean. So I guess they're losing faith in Corbin.
I felt like it was one of those things. I'm not saying the match would have been better. Probably wouldn't have been. But if he would have been in a giant stadium, Elias has still managed to stay pretty over with the crowd. So it probably would have been just, I don't know, a better moment if there would have been a crowd. But again, we were in the Performance Center, and it is what it is. It was a match.
They went 9 minutes, felt like 15. Then we had Becky Lynch defend her Raw Women's Championship against Shayna Baszler. Now, I, for one, I think just about everyone was thinking Shayna Baszler has to win this, right? She's been booked strong. She eliminated all of the Elimination Chamber, all five of them. Well, she lost.
Botched roll-up.
It wasn't as botched as the one at WrestleMania last year, but was a bit iffy. So she had, for the few minutes that it was going, I was like, okay, this is picking up. It was going good. And then she put her in the chair of Vita clutch. So I was like, all right, is this going to be the end? Then Becky flips over, just like Kari's saying how she won against Shayna Baszler back in like 2018. And Becky retained. So this feud will continue. Don't want it to continue, but it will continue. Becky looked strong. Shayna did not. Done. Becky didn't even look strong.
I was really leaning towards possible squash match with Shayna winning.
Same.
Obviously not. Then we had Sami Zayn defeated Daniel Bryan. Now, for the IC title, I was hoping this would have gone 20 minutes. It didn't. It was weird. A good probably 4 minutes of the match was just Daniel Bryan chasing Sami Zayn. Just got his... he was getting destroyed. He barely got any offense in until... he actually hit the Huluva kick in the middle of the ring and won. Not much I can really say about that match. It was short, but it wasn't bad. It was a fun match, I would say.
I don't really like how they made Sammy look like just pretty much... they made him look like that one manager every now and then that wins the championship and then they have to defend it.
Yep. Yeah, the runaway... what's the word I'm looking for? Escape artist.
Yeah. The cowardly heel kind of thing.
Yeah, cowardly heel. That's a good way to put it.
Which I wouldn't mind Sami Zayn being a cowardly heel, but sitting there for 4 or 5 minutes watching him roll out of the ring and run from him kind of got boring really quick.
I just want WWE to use him to his full potential, because we know his full potential as a wrestler.
And one thing... that it doesn't bother me that much, but just a slight bother is I wish he wouldn't do the Huluva kick. Is supposed to be in the corner, and I like the Huluva kick, but it looks like he just did kind of a big boot on Brian, and that was it. I wouldn't call it a Huluva kick, but
it really wasn't.
That's how they want to. If that's how they want to do it now,
sure,
I'm okay with it, but I honestly thought. What didn't one of the commentators, Brian jumped off the rope and Sammy caught him, right, with the kick?
Yeah, it was something like that.
And one of the commentators said, Huluva kick, and I'm like, what, really?
And then that, sure. That finished
it kind of mirrored that kick that he did at Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
When Shinsuke and Cesaro held him.
Yep. Right after
but
that,
other than that, it was still pretty fine.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fine match. I feel like it could have gone a little longer with a more, like, action-packed match, but it was a fine breather. Because right after this, we had the triple threat ladder match between John Morrison, Jimmy Uso, and Kofi Kingston. The Miz was sick, so they had to write him off saying that he was injured. They had a good ladder match, so some really good spots was the John Morrison was on one ring post, no, the on one turnbuckle, and he did a tightrope walk into the other turnbuckle where I think it was Kofi, or was it Jimmy? I think it was Kofi, and he did a Spanish fly off the top, and I thought that was really good. There was some definite editing to this match. Like, there was one where they completely pushed they pushed Jimmy onto the hard floor, but then, like, a minute later, he was back in the ring. So I was like, they definitely had a crash pad there. It was edited to make it look like they didn't, but...
Yeah, he was pushed off a tall ladder from within the ring and was supposed to crash onto the outside.
And then he was back in the ring within
which we never saw him actually hit the ground.
No. They just switched over where he was actually already on the ground. I'm like, there's no way they did that spot. The finish came when Jimmy and Kofi and John Morrison were all going for the titles. They're all up there. They unhook the title, so it's like on that gold thing where both titles are at. And they all have a hand on it. And then both Jimmy and Kofi headbutt Morrison. Morrison grabs both the titles, unhook him, and they drop next to him. He has one in his possession. The other one's not there. And they just immediately say, John Morrison's the winner. Different finish. I was hoping for a more like conclusive way. Like, Kofi's going up, then John Morrison just, you know, power slams him down. But then, and then John Morrison goes back up and wins it. But this was a different way. I've never really seen it, something like that. Other than, I think it was Money in the Bank 2015 between Ambrose and Rollins. They both had it, but then Rollins was able to grab it at the last second and win the match. So it was different. It was a good match. Probably the best match so far until we got to the next one. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad. It was a good ladder match. And something that I think this show really needed was just
some... Yeah, very fast-paced, great spots.
Right after that, we had Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. And they had a very, very good wrestling match. It was back and forth for a good bit of it. Seth Rollins was the heel, so he was trying to run away. Kevin Owens was trying to get his hands on him. During the match, it was just the middle of the match, pretty much. Seth Rollins was out near the timekeeper, and he actually got the bell, hit Kevin Owens with it, disqualification. And I thought, I was like, there's no way this is how they're going to book this. Seth Rollins is almost to the top of the stage, and then Kevin Owens grabs the mic saying, how about we do this no disqualification? Rollins accepts. Rollins is pretty much destroying him with chairs, I think the stairs, just about everything. And then once Kevin Owens gets his hands on the bell, he hits him once, lays him on top of the announce table. And then there's like a big WrestleMania sign. I'm guessing it's the same WrestleMania sign that's been at every single, that hangs up in the stadiums and stuff, in the arenas. And he gets on top of that and does an elbow drop kind of thing?
It was an elbow drop.
Yeah. Hits an elbow drop from way up there onto Rollins in the ring, toss him back in, hits him with the stunner, 1, 2, 3, he wins. It was good. A very... probably the best legit match of both shows, I would say, until we got to the Boneyard one. We'll get to that. But as a legit wrestling in the ring match, this was my favorite on both shows. Would y'all agree with that?
Yeah, I can agree.
Right after that, we had Braun Strowman defeated Goldberg for the Universal title match. All right, 30 seconds. Here we go. Spear, spear, spear. Then power slam, power slam, power slam. Done. Oh, that was 3 seconds. But yeah, Braun Strowman won with, like, was it 4 power slams? 3?
3 or 4.
Yeah. Goldberg was trying to get Braun up for a jackhammer. Thank gosh he didn't make it. I think Braun would have been dead. He countered out of it, hit 1, 2, I think it was 3. It might have been 4. Power slams and beats Goldberg. He's the new Universal Champion. Okay.
This match went kind of how I would say we thought it was going to go.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Was there any of us that thought Goldberg was going to win?
Well, according to our predictions, Miller had Goldberg win and you and me had Braun. Speaking of those predictions, at the end, me and Bentley tied with, I think, a score of 9 apiece and Miller had 8. So we'll... But yeah, I mean, this is one that me and Bentley both did Braun and Miller did Goldberg. I'm guessing they're going to save... I guess they're doing Braun versus Roman in the future? We'll see. Mm-hmm. Actually, Braun versus his new contender, right, who was announced on SmackDown last night. So we'll get to that.
But I think, it was a match. Honestly, I'm okay with Braun getting the title, but not in that manner. But yeah. He should have had the title. He should be a one-time Universal Champion, honestly.
Back in like 2017.
Yeah, I mean, this should have been 2 or 3 years ago, but I mean, it's better than Goldberg, so we can carry on without a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. And then the main event of night one was The Undertaker versus AJ Styles in a Boneyard match. Now, this match was fun. This was a fun match. The match completely flew by. It did not feel long at all. It kicks off with a hearse coming in and some druids bringing out a casket. And it was thinking, oh, here comes The Undertaker. But no, it was AJ Styles laughing. The music changed from like all dark and like mysterious into just, no, I don't want none. It was really funny. And then in comes The Undertaker on his bike, I think playing a new Metallica song, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Now That yeah. We're Dead by Metallica.
Yeah. And then he comes in and they just went at it, like elbows, forearms, just back and forth. There was one part where Undertaker grabbed something from the ground and was trying to hit AJ with it, but he actually just hits a window and he starts bleeding. He's like, whatever. He was wearing his old like biker, like he was exactly dressed as the American Badass. If I'm not mistaken, yeah. It was very back and forth. I want to say Undertaker got... I think both of them were talking a lot of smack.
Oh, yeah.
Talking a lot of smack. Undertaker was talking in... Was it like a country? That was not really country.
No, that was just Undertaker's real accent. His real accent.
Yeah. They go through, like, I mean, there's, like, a shed there. There's, like, multiple sheds. He throws AJ into a shed. Then he actually puts him into the ground about to bury him. Then the OC, Gallows and Anderson, show up behind him. And there's another, like, barn there. And then it just opens up a whole bunch of lights. And it's a whole bunch of druids start coming out surrounding the Undertaker. And he said, all right, let's do this. And he cleans house. Takes them all
out. John Wick style.
Takes out all of them. Takes out Gallows and Anderson. Then in comes AJ. AJ starts taking control. I think he finally gets Undertaker inside of the burial site. And then there's
Before that, there was a spot where they went through a wall on like the shed or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And AJ was mocking him, saying, like, you'll never, he's like, you're old, you're an old man, look how far you've fallen. And then AJ beat him with a shovel into the dig site.
Yeah. And then there's a tractor right there and with some dirt, and he's about to bury him. And then from out of nowhere, lights come up from behind him, and the Undertaker's just there. He just appeared. And Undertaker starts pretty much taking over the entire match. AJ starts fleeing, gets on top of the barn, and he's trying to run away, but then Undertaker, because he's, I guess, a god, he raises hands, and then here comes fire behind him. Gallows and Anderson also get on top of the shed. He throws Gallows off of it. He does a tombstone pile driver to Anderson on top of it, and then he completely just choke slams AJ onto the ground, onto some, like, boards and stuff. Climbs down, continues to talk smack. AJ's pleading with him, please don't bury me, please don't bury me. He's like, dude, I'm not going to bury you. You tried your hardest. I'm proud of you. And then he starts walking away, and then he turns around, has, like, a mean look on his face. I think he does a big boot.
It was a big boot.
It was a big boot, and then he goes into the burial site, gets on the tractor, turns it on, dumps all the dirt on him, then wipes away this moss that's on the tombstone, and it says AJ Styles 19. I think it was it 77. Yeah, I think
something like that.
I think it was 1977 to 2020. Gets on his bike. More flames come up. There's like a laser show. They're just like peering Undertaker's logo, and he drives off. And then we see one last look at the grave, and there's AJ Styles' glove in his hand, like above the dirt, pretty much saying he's dead.
Fun and match. You can actually fact check it on Wikipedia that AJ Styles is dead. He's actually dead.
Wow. I didn't think Wikipedia was like that. But yeah, night one felt fun. I wanted to watch more, so that was a good. And then we
their best thing was having the Boneyard match as the last match.
Oh, that was the best thing. I wasn't sure at first, but then I was just looking at him like, man, that is how you do a cinematic match. That's how you do it right there. Now switch to day two, April 5th. Pre-show match, Liv Morgan defeating Natalya. It was a match. Just like Cesaro and Drew Gulak, it was a match on the pre-show. Then the opening one, this was actually a good match. Charlotte Flair defeated Rhea Ripley. It was a good back and forth match, but I think a good bit of it, Rhea was just on the ground just taking punishment to her legs.
Really selling that leg the entire match.
I swear for the final like 10 minutes of the match, Charlotte was just on the ground. No, Rhea was just on the ground just screaming in pain. And obviously led to the finish. But early, Rhea actually hit the Riptide and got a close two count.
Within the opening moments of the match.
It was like the opening 2 minutes. Opening 2 minutes.
Yep.
But then a good most of it was Charlotte taking control, pretty much destroying Rhea's legs. I don't think she ever hit a big boot, never hit the natural selection. I was waiting for that to happen. But she was able to lock in the figure four after multiple attempts, switch into the figure eight, because I guess that is more damage. And Rhea tapped out. Complete wrong decision, I thought. I thought Rhea should have retained here. But at the same time, I don't think she should have been... She should have tapped out. If she would have got pinned, would have been fine. Would have been passed out because of the pain. But Charlotte kind of... I mean, she looked super strong, but Rhea did not. It was like Rhea's like one of the best in NXT. It was the same with Shayna Baszler. Rhea and Shayna were two of the best NXT women's champions we've seen in a long time. But then I guess they can't hang on the main roster. But it was still a good match. It went 20 minutes. It felt a little long, but it was fine. It was fine. Then we switched over to Aleister Black versus Bobby Lashley. This is just like Elias and King Corbin. Why is this a WrestleMania match? Elias was pretty much... I mean, like he was destroyed for a good bit of it. He got a few knees and a few like roundhouse kicks, but he did not really get that much offense. It was mainly Bobby. And Bobby was going for the Yokozuna Cutter or whatever he calls it. And then Lana from ringside was saying, "No, go for the spear." He puts him down, about to go for the spear. Then out of nowhere, Aleister catches him with the Black Mass. 1, 2, 3. He defeats Bobby. Weird.
I get that Aleister won, but I feel like Aleister did not look strong entire match.
No, because without Lana interfering, Bobby would have won.
Absolutely. He had the match in his hands. Had the match in his hands, but Lana screwed it. So I guess they're trying to break them up already. Then we had the feel-good moment of WrestleMania, Otis and Dolph Ziggler.
Yes!
It was really back and forth for the first, or I'd say, 6.5 minutes. And then Sonya was at Dolph's corner. Tucker was not there at all. And then she distracted the referee. Then Dolph hit Otis with a low blow. Referee was still distracted. Then Mandy comes out, takes out Sonya. Then when the referee, I guess, was still distracted, I have no idea how he's distracted for so long. Then Mandy hits Ziggler with a low blow. Otis gets the compactor, 1-2-3 wins. He celebrates with Mandy, picks her up, and then they kiss. Feel good moment would have been very good if there was fans there, but not much they can really do about that, and it's not their fault. But it was a good moment. Match itself was not, but it was a good moment.
It was a SmackDown match.
It was a very much a SmackDown match, besides the feel good moment at the end. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say.
I agree.
Then this felt like it could have been the last match of the show. Edge and Randy Orton. They went 36 minutes and 35 seconds.
Oh my goodness, man. Well, we all know what the Performance Center looks like now.
Yeah. That's about all I can remember about this match, other than them just the beginning of the match, Edge makes his entrance, waiting for Randy Orton, then Randy Orton hits him with an RKO, hits him with a second RKO. I was like, is this going to end it? No. Edge got back up, and they brawled. They punched.
They threw
each other faces into everything. For some reason, at the conference table at the Performance Center, there's like a fence on the roof. Edge got up there for an elbow drop and just drops down. I believe Randy Orton went for another elbow drop, and he laid Orton on the table, climbed up on top of this another fence, a lot higher, does an elbow drop. But then they brawled for another 10 minutes. Then they get on top of one of the semi-truck trailers. They are way up there. More brawling. Randy's going for RKO, but I think Edge caught him with a spear. Puts him in like a chokehold. And then he yells at the ref, hey, don't count. Don't count. And then he puts his head on to one chair, grabs another chair, and does the chair shot. And then the referee counts to 10. Most of this match was just the referee counting to 9. One of the other guys getting back up, barely slamming each other's head into everything. It was just so long. I was bored. I was just like, can this go, please?
Didn't really see it necessary for them to get on top of that truck without a big spot.
Yeah. I was just spending one of them to toss them off, but nope.
The most I can say is for this to be Edge's coming back match besides the Rumble. They show they still have it. Like, they were fighting ruthlessly for 36 minutes. So, I mean, they still had it, and they showed a lot of grit, but...
Yeah.
As a match, I mean, it was boring.
It was boring.
Yeah.
It was too long.
Way too long.
Right after that, we had the Street Profits defeat Angel Garza and Austin Theory. The lack of Andrade was disheartening for me, because I thought he would have really elevated this match. Austin Theory is still way too green. Street Profits won. I mean, I don't even remember that much about this match, to be honest.
The only thing I remember is Angelo Dawkins doing his spin thing in the corner.
The spinning clothesline to the corner. And then the finish was...
favorite move.
I believe Austin Theory was like laying on top of Dawkins for something. And Montez Ford was a legal guy, and he does the frog splash onto Austin Theory's back, and then pins him with that. So, fine match. And then
Bianca came out.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. And the heels were, I think it was Zelina Vega was going for a super kick onto Montez Ford, and then Montez Ford's real wife Bianca Belair came out and pretty much protected her man's honor, and the faces cleaned house. Which leads to a long segment on Raw, which we'll get to, but it would have been a lot better if it was Andrade, in my opinion. Then we had the Fatal 5-Way Elimination Match for the SmackDown Women's Championship. I believe it was Dana Brooke was supposed to be in here, but she was not. Basic stuff, all four of the women gang up on Tamina, eliminate Tamina. Naomi starts looking strong, then Sasha Banks submits her with the bank statement. And I want to say something. I was like Sasha and Bayley versus Lacey, and I think Bayley accidentally hits Sasha or vice versa, and or she pushes Sasha in like out of the way, and then Lacey actually hits Sasha with the women's right. Bailey doesn't even try to come in and protect her friend. So Sasha's out, so it's just one-on-one with Lacey and Bailey. Lacey's about to win, and then Sasha comes out of nowhere, helps her friend out. Bailey pins her with that dumb-looking, like, DDT. It looks terrible, whatever it is. And Bailey wins. So there's obviously some tension between Sasha and Bailey. I guess they're just building towards that match for WrestleMania, more than likely. Not WrestleMania, SummerSlam. But it was a SmackDown Women's Championship match. Probably would have been a lot better with fans, them cheering on Naomi and Sasha and Lacey and stuff, but it wasn't. Then we had the weirdest match. I didn't think the Boneyard could get much. I didn't think a match could get as weird as the Boneyard match, but we had the Firefly Funhouse match. This was interesting, to say the least. I would say I liked it as a segment, but it wasn't a match. People are saying, oh, it was a great match. It wasn't a match, in my opinion. I know a lot of people think that it was a very good match. I thought it was a great segment, just not a match. It kicks off with John Cena making his entrance, and then he gets lured into the Firefly Funhouse. And then we switch over to, I think it was Bray in the ring doing Kurt Angle's promo for John Cena's debut. He was wearing his like enhancement gear. He walks in saying, "What do you have? What it takes to beat me?" He said, "Ruthless aggression." Tries to slap him, but then Bray ducks. Like, who would thought that ever would have worked? Tries to slap him again, and it doesn't work. And then where do we switch off with that? Does it go over to like Saturday Night Main Event back in like 1980s, I want to say?
Yeah, I think so.
And then like Bray Wyatt's there pretty much being the Macho Man. I think Cena was supposed to be Hulk Hogan. He was just pumping iron. I'm not sure what exactly that meant, to be honest, but to say the least, it was interesting. Where we go from there? Was it
It was to Dr. Thuganomics.
That's right, yeah. Dr. Thuganomics, you know, he was going off and he was doing his normal spiel saying, like, everything he was having to say was in rap. And he obviously ends it off with saying, I forgot, it was these nuts in your face, and he has a thing of nuts. He's probably said that same joke like 20 times, I feel like. And then he was running into the corner to attack Bray. He disappears. And then do we switch over to old Bray? So like 2013 Bray?
It either switches to that or it switches to the NWO part. Can't quite remember.
No, I think it went that one first. Here, let me find out. During some of it, there's like a Vince McMahon puppet and then like Macho Man puppet.
Yeah, it was Buzzard as Macho Man.
Yeah.
Mercy.
Let's see. So yeah, I switched to the WrestleMania, so like the whole Bray Wyatt was him wearing his old polo shirt, well, the hat.
Yeah, yeah, he was sitting in the chair and he was like, "I used to have the whole world in my hands."
Why didn't you
pretty much he used like, to be strong. Yeah. But you pretty much ruined that, and then they go to the ring at 30.
Yeah, and then he does a callback to where he was trying to give Cena the chair and said, "This is where you messed up. Finish what you started." And Cena tries to swing at Bray, but then Bray just disappears. And then we switch over to the NWO segment, which had Eric Bischoff. Or Bray Wyatt as Eric Bischoff.
Bray is Eric Bischoff, yeah.
And then he tries to bring in Hulk Hogan, a.k.a. John Cena, bring in the bell, does in the guitar stuff. Once he gets into the ring, he immediately turns and starts attacking Bray, but it's not actually Bray. It turns into, was it Pig? How's his Pig? Like, what's his
name?
Yeah, I forgot his name, to be honest. Starts beating him up, says, "Stop, you're hurting him. And I think he turns around and he's in his normal ring gear, and the Fiend's there. He gets him in the Manimal Claw, then to the Sister Abigail, then the Manimal Claw again. Pins him 1, 2, 3.
Yep.
We switch over to Titus O'Neil just saying, what just happened? Because I totally forgot Rob Gronkowski was the host of WrestleMania. And he actually, he was about to pin, I think it was R-Truth on the first night. But then Mojo pushed him out of the way saying, no, I'm going to do it. He pins him. And then all these jobbers are down there. Rob jumps off, lands on top of him, pins Mojo. He's the 24/7 champion. Even right now, he still is. So who knows how long that's going to last.
True.
We're going to have to see. Then we had the main event, which is Drew McIntyre defeated Brock Lesnar. This was just like the other one, but better. McIntyre, I think, hits a Claymore early, but gets a 2 count. Then Brock hits one F5, kick out at one, then hits two, then three, two, and then barely kicks out in the third, goes for a fourth, and two, I think, three more Claymore kicks. Then it's a 1, 2, 3. Drew McIntyre is the champion. Right decision. Absolutely the right decision as of right now. So, as WrestleMania, I thought the first night was a lot better than the second night. But the second night still had its, like, ups, as in Charlotte and Rhea, and then its downs, as in Edge and Orton.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
The Boneyard is definitely the highlight
for me. Oh, yeah, for sure. The Boneyard is definitely the highlight of the weekend. Switch over to Raw. And Raw was, this was probably the worst Raw I've ever seen, or as of recent.
Kicks off with words.
Yeah, it was bad. Asuka and Liv, actually, it starts off good. Asuka and Liv had a good match. Asuka wins with the, I believe it was the, what's it called? Is it the Coquina Clutch or the Caravuta Clutch? Whatever she calls it.
Caravuta?
The Asuka Lock. Oh, the Asuka
Lock.
Yeah,
Asuka Lock. Yeah, that's what it is. It's
Joe has the Kokia Clutch, Baszler has the Caravuta Clutch, and then Asuka has the Asuka Lock.
It's the same thing.
It's the same move. But she forces a tap out onto Liv Morgan. And then we had the Street Profits in three different segments. So it's Garza and Theory versus the Street Profits in a Raw Tag Team Championship match. Rematch. Then Zelina, and they're having a back and forth. This one was better than WrestleMania. And then Vega got involved one too many times, so the ref called it, threw it out. Then Bianca Belair came down and challenged Vega to the match. So when she challenged Vega to the match, she's on the Zelina Vega and her crew are on the stage. When Bianca Belair is cutting the promo, she's looking straight at the camera, the opposite position. She's looking like forward when Vega is to her back. I thought that was really stupid. I thought, I was like, oh, that's not the greatest way to start off your Raw debut, but it's fine. So she challenged her to the match. They had a match. Then a brawl broke out, even though they never touched any of the legal wrestlers, and it forced the referee to call it a no contest. And then it became a 6-man match, or a 4-man, 2-women match, where Bianca Belair finally got her win onto Vega. This went about, I think, 3, maybe 4 commercials, and it was just so long. This went about almost an hour, and I did not need to go an hour. Then we went to Apollo Crews versus Aleister Black. And so Monday Night Raw picked up Apollo Crews from Friday Night SmackDown, and Crews pushed Aleister Black to 3 commercial breaks, 4 different segments. If this was like Cesaro versus Aleister, I would have been happy. But Apollo Crews, who's been booked as a jobber, versus Aleister Black, who should not be booked as a jobber, it went way too long. Three different commercial breaks. Obviously, Aleister Black thankfully won with the Black Mass. Then we go over to Ricochet and Cedric Alexander, who I guess are our new team, defeated Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. So they're growing their cohesion as a tag team. The one and only hit the Recoil. Still a really dumb name for a finishing move. Onto Lorcan as Alexander took out Burch to win.
The Recoil is a code breaker, is it not?
Yes. That is it. So then after replaying the some parts of the match between Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens made it clear that he's not done fighting, as Raw was the Kevin Owens show. Then the Messiah, for some reason, dominated NXT Denzel DeGeneres. Even though I've never seen this guy on NXT in my life. And he obviously has a stomp. He's not going to lose to any enhancement talent. So that's one. Well, I'd say that's probably Ricochet and Cedric defeated Oney and Birch. That was kind of a squash match. It was very short. So that's one. That's two in a row. Then Nia Jax returned to action with a dominant display as she pinned a enhancement talent with a package DDT, a new move from her. So that's three squash matches.
It's Paige's DDT.
It's Paige.
She's not like most girls.
She's not like most girls.
So she pretty much, I don't know if she's inheriting Paige's DDT, but it was the exact same.
It looked like it. Yes, it looked exactly like it.
And then the fourth squash match in a row, Brendan Vink lost to Humberto Carrillo quickly. Brendan Vink was on Raw like 2 weeks ago, losing to the Street Profits. Then he loses to Carrillo here. So I guess it's just a way to build up some of these wrestlers. Then the main event was a pre-taped segment 20 minutes after WrestleMania Night 2. Drew McIntyre thanked Brock. It was an interview with Drew McIntyre. He came out still in his wrestling gear holding the newly won championship. He thanked Paul Heyman for giving Brock Lesnar the wrong advice in the match and fueling the Scottish psychopath to win. Then, for some reason, The Big Show came out. The Big Show. So
straight from Tampa. From his Netflix series.
Yeah. I thought this would be a way to, like, hype up the Big Show show. But they never really hyped it up that much. I'm sure some people went out and watched it. Luckily for me, I've been watching it before this even happened. So I was really excited to see him. So the Big Show interrupted and challenged McIntyre to fight him for the championship. McIntyre said, "I just wrestled Brock Lesnar. I'm not doing that." But then the Big Show slapped him. And he said, "All right, we're going to do it right now." And the Big Show dominated him for around 6 minutes, 30 seconds. Until he even kicked out of the chokeslam. And then he countered the punch. Went off the ropes.
The WMD.
He goes off the ropes. Then hits him with a claymore. Pins him. Doesn't really make Drew McIntyre look that strong. But I'm just glad it's over. I really don't understand why he was there.
We know why he was there.
But they didn't really do a good job of, like, hyping up their show. I thought, like, Tom Phillips would say, and The Big Show has a brand new show on Netflix. I don't think they even said that once. That would have been, like, the right way to do it.
Big Show has a show on Netflix titled The Big Show Show.
The Big Show Show. Then we switch over to April 8th, 2020, NXT. NXT had three matches, and it kicks off with what I thought was the best of the three. The NXT ladder match with Candice LeRae, Mia Yim, Dakota Kai, Tegan Nox, Io Shirai, and Chelsea Green. There's a lot of spots early and often, though the breaks did ruin the action at points. Raquel Gonzalez kept Dakota Kai in the match, even as Tegan Nox went after her constantly because they've been feuding for a while. Chelsea Green injured her ankle, and Robert Stone, who's their manager, had to help her up the ladder, only for both to get dumped off it. The finish comes when Io Shirai and Candice LeRae fought on top of the ladder at the end of the match, but then Io Shirai raked the eyes of her longtime rival, Candice, and knocked off the ladder before pulling down the briefcase, so Io Shirai versus Charlotte will happen sometime.
Was not the last we'd see of Candice LeRae tonight.
No, it is not. Then in a partial replay from Finn Balor's fight with Alexander Wolf in NXT UK, Balor showed why he is a threat to Walter. So it was just a recap of the match. He's promising to take what is his, which I'm guessing is the NXT United Kingdom Championship. We don't know when that's going to be. Sometime.
So Malcolm, we don't know as long as this pandemic's going on.
Yeah. Ain't got a clue.
Didn't they cancel the most recent NXT UK takeover?
They canceled the tapings, yeah. Oh yeah, and they did. And they also canceled the European tour that they do every time right after WrestleMania.
Right.
But after that, Malcolm Bivens, who attacked Matt Riddle 2 weeks ago, he introduced his new tag team in their debut, Riku and Tuvar, the manhandled Scott Parker and Shane Matthews before hitting a elevated diving elbow drop for the win. They looked very, like they're supposed to be like Authors of Pain, but they felt like the Authors of Pain Walmart version. They're nowhere compared with what the Authors of Pain was when they first arrived. Maybe within the next few months, they'll be able to elevate and become better, but I'm not the biggest fan of them as of right now. Then we had Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa, Black Heart versus the Rebel Heart, one last beat. Triple H is there, sitting in the corner, looking. The way he was sitting was very, very awkward. He like was leaning back on the ropes, and then he reminded Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa that this was the end before leaving. And he said, "Right after I close that door, whatever happens, happens. Drake Younger is here to make sure there's a winner," pretty much. So he tosses a chair in, and they kick off the chair, and they just both start brawling. Then they start grabbing weapons. They grab the crutch that Ciampa had to use for many, many months.
As it was just ominously sitting there in a bin.
Yeah. They use fire extinguishers. They used trash cans, trash can lids. I think it was an elbow drop off. No, it was a power slam on a table. Ciampa ripped up the cushion that is on top of the ring, ripped it up, saying we have to finish in here. But Gargano was pretty much getting his ass handed to him, so he starts leaving, goes outside, and there's a production truck there. Not the first time we've seen a production truck this past weekend. Nope. And they start climbing on top, just brawling back and forth. They do that brawl spot where they're both punching at the same time. And I believe it was Gargano gets the advantage, and we go to commercial break. This entire match went to 7 different commercial breaks. 7 commercial breaks.
And once again, we got a brawl on top of a production truck with nothing to come of it.
Yep.
So we go to commercial break, and then when we come back, Gargano is already pretty much inside, and Ciampa is chasing after him. Gargano is then on these bleachers. He jumps on top of Ciampa and starts brawling back and forth. And then they get into the ring. And I think Ciampa got, he has Gargano into the, well, it's kind of the Gargano escape.
Yep, but with the crutch.
With the crutch. And Gargano's trying to escape, but he can't. The referee is so close to Gargano, so then he pokes him in the eyes, and that's a way for him to get out of it. And they're both up against the ring ropes. So Ciampa decides, I'm going to go for a pretty much a V-trigger onto Gargano. But Gargano moves, and he lands the knee onto Drake. And then he's able to hit the DDT on the exposed wood. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it doesn't matter. The referee's out. So they're both in the ring, just keep brawling. They're both down, trying to get back up. Then Candice LeRae comes up, starts saying, What are you doing? And then he's saying, I hate my husband. I hate him. Are you going to finish it? Says, no, fine. I'll do it. Then so she kicks Gargano into the balls and then leaves. Ciampa's like saying, man, women, am I right? And they're just there saying, I'm sorry. And then Gargano's like saying, I'm also sorry. Then in comes Candice again. Then she kicks Ciampa in the balls. So I forgot to say this. At the beginning of this, Candice hands Johnny a plastic, a paper bag wrapped up. And we have no idea what's inside of it. I was like kind of thinking tax or something like that. It was a cup. So he was not going to get hurt there. So they planned this. So then Gargano hits him with the fairy tale ending onto the exposed wood. 1, 2, 3. They win. Candice carries, pretty much helps Johnny leave We see another car out there on the outside that has Killer Cross and Scarlet Bordeaux out there, so maybe that's going to be Gargano's next feud. But I think my biggest problem with this match is I wanted to see Ciampa get his revenge now. But they had promised and said, this is it. This is the final match. It does not seem like it's going to be the final match. It really does not. It ended
in a double turn.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even a double turn, really, that much. Candice was a heel. I mean, no, Candice was a face, so I guess she just turned. And Ciampa's been a face.
It felt like Gargano was still a tweener.
Well, Gargano was pretty much saying, why does everyone support him? Look at all the crappy stuff he's done in the past. He's not a good guy. Yeah, he's not a good guy. But yeah, I mean, I thought NXT was a...
I think me and you talked, or I was complaining about this the whole match. I don't know if there were specifics behind it, but Triple H, if I'm not mistaken, goes, listen, whatever you two want to do, it's not my business. Do what you need to do to get out your frustrations on each other. Once I leave that door, you can do whatever you want to each other. Just end this. And he leaves the ref there, and literally the entire match, when the two were doing like brutal acts to each other, the ref is sitting there saying, this isn't you. Don't do this. This is too far. And it's practically an Extreme Rules, like no holds barred match. Like, I don't get it.
Some of the stuff that NXT and WWE as well do are just very confusing at times.
Yep.
Then we switch over to the same night, AEW, April 8th, 2020. The show opens with Jake Roberts giving a promo directed at Cody before he went to arena for Lance Archer's squash match. He does a really cool move, which is like he has the enhancement talent in the ring and has him in a chokeslam position. But instead of going for a chokeslam, he goes for a suplex. And he tosses him the entire ring. He lands on like the other turnbuckle when he's at one turnbuckle. Very impressive. He beats him with a blackout, which I guess is move. Then we had what I thought was the best match on the show, which is Britt Baker and Hikaru Shida. It was very back and forth, very stiff, stiff kicks. At one point, I think it was a running knee from Shida into Baker, and she busts Britt Baker's, was it deputy assist? What's it called? Her nose was pretty much busted. Her nose was busted. She was bleeding. She had, like, blood on her teeth. She looked like a killer. And back and forth, there was that one point that Britt Baker was going for the lockjaw. And she grabbed the referee's gloves that are usually for whenever someone's bleeding. Whenever someone's bleeding. And she puts it on her hand. I'm guessing... People were saying, oh, to wipe off the blood. I was thinking so she would not put her exposed hand into someone else's mouth. That's like the worst way to get the coronavirus. So I think she was just being safe about it. But while she was trying to get it on, Shida was trying to roll her up. They get out of it. Back and forth for another 3 minutes. I mean, Baker was bleeding for like 7 minutes with a pretty much a broken nose. And Hikaru Shida hits her with the running knee and gets the win. So,
before that, she tried to do the same maneuver that she did the Yuka when she like ripped her tooth out or whatever it was. It was like a couple months ago, but
yeah,
it seemed like she was going to hit that. I think that's when Shida reversed and hit the knee to get the win.
Yeah, it was. So that I thought that was a very good back and forth. One of the best AEW women's matches I've seen of the past probably 4 months. It was very well done. Then the AEW actually aired quite a few video packages of Jake Hager and Jon Moxley's feud. They did like two, maybe three. And they were all very well done. So next week you'll have Jon Moxley versus Jake Hager in a no-holds-barred AEW championship match. And it was just saying how Jake Hager was supposed to have a match that was not announced for the next Bellator show in May. But obviously because of circumstances out of his control, he couldn't. So he's in the best shape of his life saying, I'm training. So Jon Moxley is screwed. I'm training for a fight. That's what this match is going to be. It's going to be a fight. And they both were just can't wait for this match to happen. And JR is actually going to be back on commentary for it. I don't know if he was there. I don't know if he's commenting from home, but he's going to be back on commentary, which I'm really excited for this match next week. Really excited. But this was a match that I did not like. And I usually like a lot of AEW matches. I say, oh, this could have been better. I don't think this match could have been better. It could have been a lot worse, which was Kenny Omega and Nakazawa. Now, before it, Kenny Omega and Nakazawa were saying, all right, we're best friends. What should our team name be? And Nakazawa's like, oh, how about the Best Friends? I said, well, there's already a team name called the Best Friends. And they said, all right, the winner of this will be the official Best Friends. And it was a DDT match, which is a wrestling promotion in Japan. And there was just a lot of gags and sexual stuff with it. Like, Nakazawa has baby oil, so he starts getting chops, and then he pulls out the baby oil and puts the chops, I mean, and then put the baby oil on his chest and said, chop me now, and he just starts sliding his hands off. I thought, okay, that's funny. But then I think Nakazawa got, like, kicked in the head or something, got knocked out, and then he does, like, a 69 position onto Chuck Taylor, and I was like, oh my gosh, what are we doing? He at one point, Trent was on the ropes in, like, the crotch position, saying, like, oh, and Nakazawa then gets more baby oil, pours it all on the ropes, and starts sliding them over. I'm like, what am I watching right now? This is very confusing, very dumb. At one point, the Nakazawa is kind of like Santino, and he pulls out his underwear, his thong, and puts it around his hand. It's called, like, the Venom, and tries to go for, I think it was Chuck. Chuck moved, and then he starts putting it in Omega's face. For some reason, he keeps there for 5 seconds. You can move your hand, you know. You can move your hand.
Yeah.
And then it was back and forth. The final 5 minutes was fine because it was none of that goofy stuff. And the Best Friends defeated Nakazawa and Omega. Pins Nakazawa, so it keeps Omega strong. So it was fine.
He did hit Trent with the Venom, I thought.
I think he hit it right after Omega. Yeah. He did hit it after Omega, but did not lead to the victory for them.
No.
Right after that, so I did not like that. Some people did. I personally was not the biggest fan of that. Right after that, we got a promo from Matt Hardy. Pretty much saying how he pretty much talked crap about how he calls Chris Jericho the hole from an ass the hole from an ass. He says Sammy Guevara is a false god and a false. Wait to eat Proud and Powerful because he loves Puerto Rican food. Because I guess they're Puerto Rican. He calls them like loud and devourable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then this was a very interesting one. He says all Hager needs to complete his transformation to a Jakenstein is two bolts in the side of his head. Pretty much saying how this Jake Hager is Chris Jericho's creation and he'll do whatever he says. He's not a real human being. He's got like no brain. And Hardy then calls on Vanguard 1 to bring him the Inner Circle shirt that Jericho gave to the drone. And Vanguard said that Jericho's shirt is a dumpster fire. So then Hardy challenged Jericho to come to the Hardy compound and face him in a Elite Deletion match. If it's anything like his one with Bray Wyatt or his one with Jeff Hardy the first time, I'm excited. It's going to be just funny. And I think Chris Jericho could really thrive with that.
Oh, yeah.
Brody Lee then has another video package of him pretty much being like Vince and how they were not dressed up or something like that. It wasn't as good as his other ones. He then gets a squash match by the man of Lee Johnson. So he hits him with the discus clothesline. I think that's what he calls it. Mm-hmm. And wins. Then the main event was Cody and Sean Spears. They've been waiting for a rematch since All Out. I thought this match was better than the one at All Out because the one at All Out had a lot of hype around it. This one did not have a lot of hype, and it was better. Cody at one point went through a table. Sean Spears pulls up the guardrail, which is a bike rack, and hits him with a... Well, it's kind of like an attitude adjustment with the DVD, the Death Valley Driver, onto that. So Cody was pretty much destroyed for a good bit of it. Cody then comes back and hits Sean Spears with two Crossroads, and then Sean Spears kicks out. He locks in the figure four, and since Sean Spears is in too much pain, he's not able to kick out. He pins him 1-2-3 while in the figure four. It's happened, I think, twice, and it's happened a few times. Ric Flair, I think, pinned Randy Savage back in like 1992 for the title, and then he also pinned someone else back in like 1998 or something like that. So
I found it kind of an odd finish. I really wasn't expecting Spears to kick out of two Crossroads, which, another thing, I don't know why this is quite the trend now that Cody likes to hit two, but expecting the three count there.
Actually usually hits three, but he only went for two and thought he was going to win it instead of hitting the third. Then we went over, so that was AEW. I enjoyed it. I don't know which one was better, but I thought this entire week of wrestling was not at the standard that I was expecting. Raw was really bad. NXT was underwhelming. AEW had some dumb moments in it. It was a little bit underwhelming. And SmackDown was just there. We'll get to SmackDown right now. Braun Strowman kicked off the broadcast.
I'm sorry. Before we get to SmackDown, I think you probably summed up Wednesday the best. When you said NXT was the better show, but AEW was more like fun.
AEW had...
I'm sorry, I worded it wrong. You said NXT had the better matches, AEW was just more fun to watch. And I agree.
That's what I thought, wholeheartedly. Yeah.
I think that has to do with AEW still putting the other wrestlers and talent out and having them kind of cheer on the wrestlers
because it doesn't
ring.
Seem like it's a dead, arena. Like, there's no one there. This actually feels
exactly.
There's there.
Exactly.
Yeah, so SmackDown kicks off with Braun Strowman, him celebrating his championship match at WrestleMania over Goldberg. Then Shinsuke Nakamura issued a challenge, and I guess in Japanese, and they have a match later. So I was like, okay.
Yeah, he issued it. He did say some stuff in Japanese, but he came in the ring, I'm pretty sure. And he was pretty much saying, like, you issued a challenge. Well, knock, knock, who's there? Shinsuke Nakamura is at your door.
Yeah.
And I want a challenge.
Yeah,
it was kind of nice not hearing fans, like obnoxious fans, do the what chant whenever a Japanese wrestler.
You definitely would have heard that. You definitely would have heard that. Yep. And then, just like Raw, we have another WrestleMania rematch for tag titles. This time it's the Women's Tag Team Champions, Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, against the Kabuki Warriors. They had a shorter match, which was better than their one at WrestleMania because it was shorter. And it felt like it was more action. There was a one commercial break, but it didn't really ruin that much. Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross was able to win after... I'm trying to think. I think Nikki hit her swinging neck breaker, whatever it's called, for the win. So it was a match. It was fine. Then we had a recap of the happy ending from Otis and Mandy Rose at WrestleMania. So Dolph Ziggler comes out with Sonya Deville, both yelling at Michael Cole saying, "This is fake. This did not happen. We care about Mandy," and all this stuff. Then Tucker comes out, starts showing pictures of Mandy and Otis happy. So Tucker and Dolph have a match, and Dolph wins. I don't think there's really that much outside interference. It was just a match. So Dolph is looking strong. I'm guessing they're going to probably do Otis and Dolph again later in the future. Maybe a mixed tag match with Sonya and Dolph versus Mandy and Otis. We'll see. The Miz and John Morrison joined us for the latest edition of the Dirt Sheet. Them run down the results from WrestleMania, saying that's good news after a lot of them saying how now our champion on SmackDown is going to show up every week. That's good news. And all this stuff. Then the Usos come out. Before the Usos come out, Miz and Morrison have a song, Hey Hey, and they start performing it. And the first part of their song is kind of eh, but then whenever they get to the chorus, it's like, you know what? It's not that bad. The Usos interrupt right after the chorus. So they're pretty much saying how Morrison, you won, but Miz, you have not defended your title. And Miz saying, I'm still not medically cleared because y'all hurt me. He's not limping or anything. I don't know what he's hurt. Then the New Day come out. Kofi Kingston channeling his inner Teddy Long. He said, holla, holla, because it's going to be for some reason, I don't know why it's not a tag team match. It's just a triple threat match. It's going to be Miz versus Jay versus Big E next week for the titles.
So everyone who didn't compete at Mania. Yes. So,
then pretty much saying how, Morrison, you won it, but Miz, you have not won it. So it's supposed to be a tag team and not a singles championship. So, yeah.
But why didn't they just have a tag match then?
Because then when the other person looked strong, I guess. And that's a way for Miz and Morrison to lose the titles. We will see.
So Usos need to pick it up now, right?
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe.
Right after that, the Forgotten Sons are making their main roster debut. Now, they had like a promo video of how the Forgotten Sons looked like one of the most dominant teams in NXT.
They weren't.
They never won the tag team championship.
Tell me this now. What tag teams are left in NXT? You got the Bruiserweights?
You have the Broserweights?
I'm sorry, Broserweights. My God.
You have the Broserweights. You have that debuting, I think, Indian tag team. It looks like Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan are going to be on Raw because they had the Raw sign, so they're not there anymore. Yeah. Undisputed Era.
And then, of course, the people who are stepping up against Matt Riddle, right?
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about, the Indian people.
The Indian people.
Whatever they are. I'm not exactly sure what their nationality is.
I thought you were talking about somebody else, like the Singh brothers are showing up on NXT.
They might be on there. And then I think you also have Tyler, I think, Breezango, but I'm not sure if...
They're still there, but
they're only not healthy, I don't think. I don't think one of them are healthy. So I have no idea. I think the Grizzly Young Veterans are going to be making the move over to NXT soon, but I don't know how soon that's going to be now.
But yeah, they don't have much. Make more of an impact than Sanity did when they debuted. Oof. I think it was on SmackDown. I could be wrong, but I think it was on SmackDown. It was so forgettable that I can't even remember. Like,
it very all much the was details. Forgettable. But, so I was expecting, all right, they're facing the Lucha House Party, Gran Metalik and Lince Dorado. I was like, they're going to squash him. They barely won. This is not the way you have a match of a debuting team. They were like, there was multiple times where they were about to lose, and then the other guy would come in and help them out.
Yeah, that's not how you do it.
And their finish, which is like it's a scorpion death drop, and then one person on the top rope pretty much doing like a stomp on their chest. It was kind of it was okay. So they won. Then out comes Bayley saying how she beat everyone, claiming that everyone else is like, all these fans are ignorant sheep. And then Tamina comes out saying, none of y'all beat me. It took all of y'all to beat me, so I want a title match. And they're saying, okay. Because they don't want her to hurt him, because they're scared of Tamina. And then Bayley says, all right, you'll get a match if you beat Sasha next week. And Sasha's like, what the fuck? What? Why'd you do that? Why did you say that? I don't want to face Tamina. And there looks like there's a little bit of conflict there. Nothing major yet. I'm guessing they're still going to build it up for SmackDown. I mean, for SummerSlam. But, yeah, that's a match next week. As well as Dana Brooke versus Naomi in a Money in the Bank qualifier match. Daniel Bryan versus Cesaro in a Money in the Bank qualifier match.
All right. I mean, I'm okay with that one.
Manny comes out to say something to address her friendship with, I think, Mandy Rose. And then you have the tag teams. You have four matches announced. It's about three other matches than I would expect them to announce. They never announce matches. But Sheamus returned to action this week, defeating the enhancement talent known as Cal Bloom, not Boom. That would be a lot better. Cal Bloom. Right after that, they were doing like a highlight video. I think they're doing it every week. They're having like a episodic thing about Jeff Hardy. Just going to build to his big return, even though he returned 2 weeks ago, or like a month ago. And then Braun Strowman and Shinsuke Nakamura have a match, just about the same match they had for the IC title on SmackDown about a month and a half ago. Yep. He wins, even with some interference from Cesaro, he still wins. And then the Firefly Funhouse image pops up. They're there, or Bray's there. Challenge him to a match, then Oh, he's challenged him to a match, and then the head of the old Bray Wyatt talked to him, saying, what did he say? Pretty much saying how if Strowman says he's sorry, he'll go nice on him. Pretty much. Because of the whole Strowman turned his back on the family, even though they were drafted to different brands, so there's not much he really could have done. And Strowman said, oh, I'm going to take this match anytime. I says, bye-bye. I was like, what? Brian,
yeah.
We don't need any of that. And so that's going to be the match, I'm guessing, for Money in the Bank. So good on them.
It's got to be. They don't really have much time. You got May 10th, right? Is the date of... Yeah, you got the rest of April and the beginning of May.
Good on them for letting The Fiend have his rematch, but I don't think Braun's going to lose it already. I think more than likely Roman's going to win it at SummerSlam or before SummerSlam.
It's going to hurt probably if they have Bray Wyatt lose to Braun Strowman, but I'm preparing myself for that heartbreak.
Yeah.
We'll have to see. We'll have to see. Yeah. Money in the Bank is right around the corner, I think just a month away, so we'll see. So that was the full week of wrestling. We don't really have a pay-per-view, like I said, for another week. There's no UFC, so there's no sports. It's just wrestling that's keeping everyone afloat right now.
The draft's coming.
Oh, yeah. The NFL draft. I forgot about the NFL draft. That is coming in, I believe, 3 weeks or 2 weeks. I know, it's 2 weeks now. 13 yep. days. So I'm excited for that. All right, well, that's all the time we got for today. See you on the next one.